Trofinco's Valor Program for veteran entrepreneurs is especially tailored to support veterans in transitioning to business ownership with dedicated financial solutions and resources. For traveling entrepreneurs, the program offers flexibility and support in funding, critical for those exploring new markets. Business owners will find the personalized approach and understanding of veteran needs invaluable for expanding operations or starting new ventures. Empower your entrepreneurial journey with the Valor Program and turn your business vision into reality. New U-Life Somaderm Gel. Travelers and business owners can benefit from enhanced energy levels and improved sleep quality. Crucial for adjusting to new time zones and maintaining peak performance during business operations. Entrepreneurs will appreciate the potential anti-aging effects, supporting a dynamic, youthful appearance vital for first impressions. Click here now to revitalize your body's natural rhythms and present your best self in every meeting and adventure.
Welcome to the Tactical Traveler, the podcast where adventure meets precision and the journey is just as important as the destination. Bringing you the inside scoop on the most thrilling and efficient travel experiences. Each episode, we'll dive into the art of travel, from navigating off the beaten path destinations to mastering the art of packing like a pro. So buckle up, get your compass ready, and let's embark on a new adventure with Tactical Traveler. Here's your host, John Rankin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tactical Traveler. I'm so excited to be here today. And we have a very special guest coming all the way from right now in the Ukraine. He was a real estate and financial expert turned world traveler and founder of Luxury World Traveler. Welcome to the show, Gil Antolin. And some people say it differently. Hopefully I got it right this time, Gil.
You did get it right. Thank you. Yes, it's Spanish. And I'm joking. Be a little tricky for Americans. So
yeah, it can be, right? So absolutely. It's great to have you on the show. And I think for me at least, and you know, I talked to you about this on the pre-show, I really don't care what people think because I do these for me. So I'm most interested in hearing how you go from a real estate agent in, you know, LA, which, you know, you make really good commissions out in LA, to being a world traveler with a massive Instagram following, to having a course that you're teaching. And what happened that you went from that to where you're at now in life?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, so I was, you know, someone that was very lucky at a young age. I did really well in the real estate and mortgage boom in the US, which was between like 2001 and 2008, 2009. And then as part of that, I was also like heavily invested in real estate and had a really big company. And when the financial crisis happened, you know, all of the ways that I earned money disappeared within about a 30-day window. So it was very difficult. You know, times were really, really good. And then times got really bad very quickly. So,
right.
Yeah. My story is that, I ended up losing everything. You know, I broke up with my fiance. I lost my homes. I had multiple houses in escrow. I lost all of that and ended up having to like short sell my house when that was like a really big thing. And, you know, I had to basically reinvent myself. And the reason why I'm so passionate about travel is in the midst of all that happening, you know, I have a spiritual advisor and he really wanted me to help him organize a mission trip to Africa. And I was like, you know, I'm going through bankruptcy. I'm losing everything. It's not the right time for me to help anybody. Right. I can't even really help myself. You know, does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
very difficult time. So I ended up doing it and I ended up, you know, in the midst of losing everything, going on this, which seems now so crazy, but going on a trip to Africa. And I went to, you know, long story short, as I went over there and I really had one of those, you know, life-changing moments, paradigm-shifting moments, because I was losing everything in the US, or at least everything that I thought was important to me. And then when I went to Africa and got out of my, you know, my own bubble, the veil was kind of lifted and I saw people that, you know, really didn't have anything. And I felt really, you know, guilty about that. I was like, wow, here I am. Poor me, why is all this stuff happening to me, feeling sorry for myself? And then I got a glimpse of people that really had nothing. And, you know, we were able to raise funds to go over there and help build, you know, a couple orphanages and supply uniforms and school stuff. And I thought we were going over there to give them something. And I actually ended up, they're the ones that gave me, you know, like a whole outlook on life. And I realized at that point that there was no way I could have had that experience had I not left LA. You know, it took me traveling to the other side of the world to really have the veil lifted. You know, after that point, when I came back, I just said, okay, going forward, it's not about the money for me. It's like, one, I want whatever I do to be based around travel, because I couldn't have that experience at home. It just, there's no way I could have had that experience. Right. Two, you know, I found so much joy in paying it forward and helping other people, you know, that couldn't help themselves. It was such a new feeling for me to really see how you can impact the lives of others. And no matter what that is, like financial or expertise, whatever. So yeah, I got back to LA and, you know, for 2-3 years, I was doing like different, bouncing around to different companies I hated. And then, you know, long story short, I have a 21-year-old son. Then he was just about 11. He showed me Instagram and I saw a travel page and I became instantly addicted. And I ended up starting my own Instagram page as a hobby. And that really sent me down this course over the last 10 years to where I am now.
That's amazing. So really your travel platform was started by your then 11-year-old?
Well, no, he introduced me to Instagram.
Okay. So he just showed you Instagram and then you took it and ran with it.
I didn't know what Instagram was. You know, he showed it to me. I was like, oh, it's like Facebook. I'll never forget it. And this is probably what got me hooked. He's like, Dad, Facebook's for old people. And I was like 32 at the time. I'm like, what? Facebook's for what? What is this Instagram? And yeah, I grabbed it. There was a travel page that was just producing pictures. Back then it was only pictures of different exotic and amazing destinations around the world. And like the picture I saw was of the Maldives. And, you know, I have no ego, you know, I have no pride when it comes to this, that like, I didn't know where that was in 2012. I had no idea where the Maldives were. You know, I was born and raised in LA. So where are the Maldives? And then next I saw places like Zanzibar and Seychelles and, you know, like places like Burma that I had never even heard of. Because again, if you go back 10 years ago, like without Instagram, Facebook, or any social media, like how did you really find out about exotic places on the other side of the world? I mean, maybe a magazine, an encyclopedia.
Right.
So I was hooked and I said, wow, what a great platform where I don't have to see people checking in. I don't know if you remember when people were checking into lunch on Facebook and I'm in the gym, you know, and I'm in a taxi. I'm like, I don't care. I just want to like, you know, I just thought this was such a simple platform. So I started the name Luxury World Traveler based on like what I had done while I was doing good financially. And it was just a hobby. And then the hobby really turned into like a passion. And then, you know, I really started to put a lot more effort into that than I was the day job that I had, because I found it so interesting. And, you know, as a traveler, like once you have that travel bug and it doesn't go away, your thirst for learning about new places doesn't stop, right? I mean, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I absolutely feel the same way. And I have a very crazy story that really gave me the travel bug, which was also a missions trip, conveniently. Yeah, I went to Guatemala in the middle of their Revolutionary War, but it was before the internet, so I didn't know there was a Revolutionary War. So I showed up to a country with little kids carrying shotguns and security guards having Uzis. It was amazing. And from there forward, I was like, oh my God, I love this. I need more. And it's never left.
Yeah, it doesn't leave, right? And like, for me, I will never forget this. I was still doing real estate and mortgage, although it wasn't like it was before and it wasn't my company. And I had, you know, that movie, The Secret, was big back then. And like everyone was talking about like, you know, Think and Grow Rich and all these ways to manifest your desires. And so I ended up making a vision board and putting it on my wall at my office, which when you work with 12 adult men, and you come to work with a, you know, a vision board and put on your office, you can only imagine, like, you know, 12 sales guys, what happened to me. I would,
right.
I would walk in daily to ridicule and, you know, this isn't arts and crafts and, you know, what is this? And that stuff never works. But I actually still have a copy of my vision board on my, I took a picture of it. I posted on Facebook. I never deleted it, but it was all really based around travel. You know, and I remember I would stare at it every day. And then what ended up happening was Instagram became my vision board, because I, you know, started to post pictures, and that's all it was back then, of places that I really, really wanted to go. And so I would set apart every Sunday for like 3.5 years. I would spend 6 hours on Sunday nights on like Google Images, Bing Images, travel websites, professional photographer websites, and try to find the absolute best pictures of certain areas I wanted to highlight, even though I hadn't been there. And, you know, I would sit there and I would imagine myself being in like the Maldives, or being in like Fiji, or being in like Bora Bora, places that just seem like a dream. And then, you know, every day I was posting this on my Instagram, and like that really turned into like a vision board for me, right? Of places that, sure, I wanted to go. Yeah. So I just was very passionate about it. And I know it sounds crazy now, but for the first 4.5 years, I was posting 6 images a day. And I never missed a day, not Christmas, not Easter, because I was just so passionate about like sharing different places. And back then we would like highlight a destination for a week. And so then, yep, what I would want to post on my page, and we went back to doing this now too, is like, the best hotels to stay at, and what are the best activities, and what, you know, kind of historical monuments or museums are there, and like, where do you eat, and where are the best beaches. And so I felt like I was learning so much about these places, and you know, Instagram proved to be a really good place, especially for the travel community, to connect with other like-minded people that had the same passion for traveling that I know I do.
Right.
Obviously, having spoken with you, I know that you do.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's just so many parts of that that I really want to grab onto. The first is that travel truly is transformational. Like, when you really get away from the checking off the major, you know, bucket list items that everybody else in the world does, and you just take a step back to actually immerse yourself into the culture and the people, like, you can't help but to come away a different person. Speaking of Africa, I was so shocked to learn that doctors make like $40 a month. You're like, what? Like, how is that even possible? And yeah, one of my goals is to help thousands of people travel the world for more often for a lot less money, so that they can experience that transformation. Because it's, you know, it's really boring to me to just go somewhere, stick to yourself, go visit, you know, the Eiffel Tower or whatever, and then go home. That is not the purpose of travel. And I love it that your first experience was truly that transformational as well. And then it's so powerful what you said about your hobby became basically your way of life. It was this passion in you. And, you know, incidentally, everybody in sales now has vision boards. So you should reach back out. You should reach back out to those guys and ask to see their vision board. I'm sure they have one now.
So it's funny is because, like, you know, I knew those guys for a while, and I ended up, supplementing my income for the first 2 years that I was doing this with real estate. You know, their attitude started to change about 2 years in, when I was starting to get invited to hotels in Santa Monica and Beverly Hills and La Jolla. And they were like, wait, you went there for free this weekend? And I was like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, like, ridicule turns into a desire to know more about like what was really happening. But if you think about it, like, yeah, 10 years ago, Instagram wasn't a staple that it is now. It was still the redheaded stepchild to Facebook. So, you know, for me though, a lot of people ask me, like, why did you start it? And it wasn't to become an influencer. I didn't start it for free travel. I never thought I'd be able to make a living out of it. It's, you know, and I think it's one of the things that a lot of people miss when they're when they want to take the first steps to be an entrepreneur, do something for themselves, it's like, you know, money shouldn't be your focus. And for me, it really wasn't. And you never really know your path, right? But the universe kind of knows the path for you. And because I had, you know, I was so passionate about doing this and I didn't really come to expect anything out of it, when it started to bear fruits and I started to be able to start to travel for free and then hotels were reaching out to me to pay me to feature their hotel on my page, it was, you know, it was very like eye-opening, but I really then kind of bought into the process of like, you know, once you really give yourself to something and you are passionate about it and it doesn't feel like a job, it's just pretty miraculous how the universe can work in your favor to make things happen. And like, I'm a perfect example of that because in 2012, I had no marketing background. I knew nothing about social media. I didn't have a nice DSLR camera. I had no video equipment. I didn't have a drone. I knew nothing. I knew nothing about marketing. I knew nothing about how to take a good or bad photo. And like now, you know, subsequently fast forward 10 years, that's like what my life is. But, you know, Instagram was just really a great platform for me to be able to really learn it hands-on and, you know, help me to really find a job or a career, I should say. I don't feel like I have a job. And something that I love, which is traveling. So I feel very blessed about that.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Instagram for a little bit. Roughly at about how many followers did you have when you started getting offers to go to hotels for free?
I think they started around like, I don't know, 75, 80,000 followers is what I had, like maybe in 2013, early 2014 when I got my first invitation. And I remember, because I'm, you know, I'm 44 now, I wasn't a kid. I when I got my first invitation, I actually emailed the hotel and insisted to talk to the owner or general manager because I thought like one of the guys in my office was playing a prank on me. I'm like, you're going to do what? You're going to have me come? Yeah, I thought it was like a hoax, right? But again, back then, Instagram wasn't what it is today. I mean, now I know people right. like get hosted offers, you know, if they have like 5 or 6,000, depending on what their niche is. But yeah, I would say it was about 70, 80,000. And it was definitely like about a year, maybe a year and a half into my, you know, process that actually started to happen. Although now it's, you know, travel's a mainstay on Instagram. But back then it was,
sure.
if you had 70,000 followers, you were like, I remember you were like Starbucks or Coca-Cola or like, you know, Michael Jordan. There was barely anyone that had that many followers back then. So.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So at what point, you know, so now you're starting to get invitations, you're going and you're taking pictures and you really become a marketing guru for the travel niche. At what point did you go, I can teach people how to do this and make money doing it?
That's a great question. So I would say it was about my third year in. Around my third year in, that's when Instagram was purchased by Facebook. And that's when everyone started to take it a lot more serious. And that's when a lot of, and I was in LA. So, you know, LA is very progressive when it comes to social. A lot of the hotels in and around that area started to see the advantages of like having back then there was no influencers, but having celebrities come there and then put a picture up, right? And then all these people were coming, the light bulbs started to go off for them. Like, okay, well, we'll just put them up for free and then make sure they do this. So mm-hmm. yeah, I would say about like 3 years in is when the snowball really started to get big and I started to get a lot of invitations and more so than I could actually reach like go to. And then, you know, they were not just from hotels in LA, but it started to be a lot international. So what I realized is that like now I have a platform that was becoming popular. You know, I had probably 250,000 followers, which back then was a lot in 2015. And so what I started to do is I started to reach out to a lot of the photographers who I had featured in the past. So if let's say, for example, like I remember I had a partner that was based in Italy and this hotel in Italy was like, hey, we'd love to have you come out here. And I'm like, there's no way I'm getting to Italy, right? Like back then it was just like, it still wasn't possible. I was like, no way. So I remember the first time I was like, hey, but I have this really good photographer and he's there and I've worked with him. Can I send them? He's like a member of my team, right? And the hotel was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I could actually do this on a lot bigger scale. And there was so many talented professionals that were, you know, professional photographers or professional video people that I had worked with, and I had featured their content on my page. So I started to like make these deals with them on a small scale. And then, you know, I started to get a lot of emails, inbound emails, like, how do you do what you do? And can you teach me? So I actually ended up starting like an ambassador type program in 2015, where, you know, and I still run it to this day, where people were paying me a fee, and then I would just basically become like a business development partner for them and give them access to some of these hotels that were, you know, thousands of dollars a night to go produce content at. They won because they didn't have to pay retail. I won because I got good content, and I also own the content with them. So like, that's kind of how it started. And I've been running that program ever since for the last 7 years, you know, kind of just like, I felt so blessed that I was able to like visit a lot of these places. So I felt like a way to pay it forward is to help other people start their careers doing it as well. And it's turned out to be probably the thing I'm the most proud of in the last 7 years, having, you know, started that program and what I've been able to do with the company. So yeah, it's been quite a journey, a lot of fun.
Yeah. So you're at what, 10 years now total?
10. Nine? Yeah. It's going to be 10 years in December that I wow. started. Yeah, I know. I can't even believe it's been a decade. It seems like it's blown by, but yeah, 10 years that I've been running and managing the page, and, you know, and it's afforded me a lot of opportunities, and I've been able to, you know, create different businesses just from the Instagram following, which, you know, now seems a lot more realistic, but I had no idea what I was doing when I first started, which I think is, you know, is like the best part of the story, is it was just a passion project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I'm going to ask you a really hard question. Yeah. Somebody is listening today and they're like, holy cow, that's what I want to do with my life. What would you tell them is the downside?
The downside?
Yeah. What's been the most difficult thing for you over this 10-year journey? I mean, it's a little bit different, right? Because you went from nothing because of the crisis that you went through. So you could only go up from there. But somebody's listening to us today and they're like, oh my God, that's my dream. What would you say is the downside so that they could be prepared for the struggles that you went through?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a great question. I think for anyone that wants to take a first step at chasing a dream, becoming an entrepreneur, starting their own business, the most difficult part for me, I'll be honest, was in the beginning, the amount of people around you that, you know, have never fulfilled their dreams and have never done anything that they really wanted to do. So having to listen to a lot of people tell you it's not possible, you know, I was crazy. I remember my mom started crying when I told her I was going to stop doing real estate to do it. I mean, imagine your mother crying, like, what are you doing? You have a son, you're a single dad. Like, how are you going to pay the electricity? She didn't understand what Instagram was. But I think, you know, prior to that, I was self-employed as well. And I have been for the last 20 years. I think that the most difficult part of it for any entrepreneur that's starting is really going to be the battle within their own mind. Yes, everybody wants to become successful. Yes, everybody wants to have nice things in life. Yes, everyone wants to follow their dream and have a story to tell. But consciously making the decision to do it in lieu of what anyone else says to you, and really having the dedication to follow through on it, I think is the most difficult part. Because, you know, the biggest battle is in your mind. I feel like humans are capable of extraordinary things. But oftentimes the one thing that prevents us from really elevating to the next level is our own fear of doubt and, you know, failure and, you know, what other people are thinking. And so for me, that was very, very difficult, because until it started to bear fruits, most of what I heard was negative. And it would have been very easy for me to say, you know what? Yeah, everyone's right. You know, how am I going to make money at this? Or it is a crazy idea. You know, I knew, having worked in real estate before, that I had done a job that I was not passionate about. I had been in the place where I'd forced myself to go do to exchange time for money, and felt like I was just spinning my wheels. Yes, I had made great money, but like, I didn't feel complete. You know, I didn't feel fulfilled. Yeah. I think everyone's smart enough to know, like, when you're doing something that you don't like as a job, in exchange for money, there's that feeling that we all have, and that maybe there's something else out there for you. And so I would say, like, that's the most difficult part. And then secondarily, like, now I think what people find, it makes it easier, is like, you can find a community of people that will support you to do this, right? When I started, there was zero community. There was nobody doing this. Now, most of my closest friends around the world do this, and we all support each other. And that's part of why I started my ambassador program. So, you know, a journey is always easier when you have people around you that are on the same path and are doing the same thing. So, like, you know, one, making the conscious decision, but then two, having that support. Because, and you know this, being an entrepreneur is not easy. And it's not all been peaches and cream. It hasn't all been, you know, puppy dogs and ice cream for the last 10 years. So, you know, you have to be ready. You have to know that there are going to be those days, but those are the days when you lean on your community and your friends that really support you and are doing what you're doing, because they'll help push you through it.
Yeah. So my story is a little similar to you in that regard, in that, you know, I started this 4 years ago, and I've had lots of dream killers as well, and people that were very negative. People who need to pursue their dreams. And I've always been really curious about this, that why is it that as children, you know, you've got a son, I've got four children, I got three boys and a girl, that for the vast majority of Americans, when they're young, we teach them to dream. You can do anything you want to do. What do you want to do? Set your mind to it. But somewhere around the age of 14, 15, 16, it's almost like the wisdom of dreaming for what you want to be becomes, give that stuff up, get a job, get an education, slave for somebody else for 40, 50 years, retire, and then go back to dreaming. I've even started telling people, listen, you don't even get a degree in 4 years. So why do you think an entrepreneurial endeavor is going to make you millions in 6 months? Yeah. You know, like, you can't even get a degree in two to 4 years is what it takes, depending on what you're doing. And I think that if people would begin to look at their dream from the vantage point of, if this is going to take me 4, 5, 6 years, or even if it takes me 20 years, it doesn't matter, because I'd rather do 20 years of doing what I want to do than 4 years of being somebody else's slave.
Yeah, no, 100%. And like, I can tell you this from personal experience, there is a very big difference between having a job and a career. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. You know, like, a job is just a straight exchange of time for money. And when you have a job, you look at the clock throughout the day and you're like, oh my God, it's only 10 o'clock. I have 6 more hours. Oh my God, it's 3 o'clock. I have 3 more. Oh my God. You know, and then like the buzzer sounds and you're out of there. Whereas like when you have a career, you know, like I have no sense of time when it comes to weekends, working late nights. The other night we were on the phone. Remember, we were doing the pre-call. It was 11:30 at night for me. Like, that all goes away and you don't seem like you ever have enough time, because, you know, you're doing something.
You're consumed.
But, you know, like, I am lucky enough where I get to wake up every day and I get to do things like this, where I'm on podcasts with you. I'm training people on different things in travel. I'm setting up our trips and our projects. And everything I do focuses around travel. And because that's my passion, and because that's the thing that I love, I never get sick of it. You know, like, I could sit here and do your podcast and then record 5 other ones with other people talking about the same thing, but because I'm passionate about it, you know,
absolutely,
you don't ever tire of it. And I just think, you know, one of the things that, I don't know if you've ever, how much you listen to Gary Vee, and, you know, a lot of people have different opinions on him, but once he said something that that was like so impactful for me. He's like, you know, if you ever, the saddest thing in life is regret, because you can never go back and change things in the past. And he's like, you know, if you ever want to, you know, put that knowledge to the test, volunteer time at like a convalescent hospital or a place where, you know, there's elderly people, and befriend one of them and really ask them about the things that they regret in life. And so many of those stories, and even the ones that I did, so many people regret never having taken that chance, right? They allowed their parents, their sisters, their brothers, their friends, that inner circle and the people around them to dictate what their life became. And then as you come to the end of this experience and you look back with through different eyes, you realize that like none of what they said really mattered. The only thing that matters at the end of the day is if you can look back your life and feel like you lived a fulfilled life and you did pursue the things that you really, truly desired. And yeah, like you said, it may not happen in 6 months. It may not happen in a year. It may not happen in 3 years, but I can tell you what, the last 10 years of my life, I would not exchange for anything. And the same people, i.e. like my mom, that were crying when I made the decision, ask me how many amazing vacations I've been able to take her on.
Right.
You know, right. It's so funny how opinions are very, are very fleeting and can be changed. And those same people that might be the ones to try to deter you from chasing your dream will shortly become the same people that are asking to become a part of it. And so like for me, seeing that, I said, wow, yeah. You know, like don't ever let someone else dictate what your future is going to be, because again, their opinion could do a 180 in a matter of years, and then you wouldn't have really cared what their opinion was in the first place.
Right. That's totally true. Since you brought that up, I'll ask you a two-part question. So how many vacations have you been on with your mom? And then in general, how many countries have you been to?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I have sent my mom on cruises to, she lives in Oregon. She loves the outdoors. She loves the woods. She loves mountains. I've sent her on cruises up the Alaskan coast to go see grizzly bears and eagles. I've taken her to Hawaii and, Maui and climbed volcanoes with her. We have gone to Cabo San Lucas, Puerto Vallarta, stayed in nice villas and the nice resorts. We've done Tulum, we've done Mexico. I mean, we've, you know, all over the United States, and she has firsthand got to see exactly the fruits of what I built, you know. And we, up until COVID, she had planned to come visit me in Europe. And in 2021, I'm taking her to the Maldives, you know, and it's like, again, that's something that she saw me go and do a number of times. And then, you know, now because of what I do, I'm able to actually make that happen for her. You know, next year I will take her to the Maldives, which, is something that I'm really looking forward to, because she's seen it on my Instagram. She's seen a lot of my ambassadors go there, and she's just like, I want to go. And I'm like, yeah, mom, we will go, I promise. And then, yeah, the second part of that question is, in the last 10 years, I have done over 60 countries through my Instagram page and trips. And I've personally been able to stay at over 400 of some of the nicest luxury resorts around the world, which when I say it sounds absolutely insane, but I have spent a great deal of time traveling. And I told you in the pre-call, I just got done doing 13 weeks throughout Europe and the Middle East, even in the midst of COVID. And, I think as you get older, you understand that your life, looking back, really just becomes a collection of memories and moments, right? Memorable ones, whether they're good or bad. And you don't ever remember being in traffic on the way to work. You don't ever remember going to, Costco on a Saturday. You don't remember, being at the DMV. These are things like you kind of shut out. But oftentimes, the things that become your memory and a collection of your life are the memories that you had when you were traveling, right? Because they're so vivid. And I just, I feel so blessed that over the last 10 years, I've been able to experience so much and see so much of this beautiful world and visit so much of so many different cultures and places. I also think as travelers, we're so blessed to live in this time, 100 years ago, wherever you lived is where you lived. And that was all you really barely see, and anyone before that, like there wasn't a lot of, you couldn't just say, hey, today I want to go to the Maldives and swipe a credit card and go, or I want to go to Thailand, or, So yeah, it's been a blessing, and you know, I cherish those memories. And again, just like you, that's why I'm so passionate about what I do, because I love to be able to train other people to do what I do and see them be able to have those experiences. Because one, not only for the memories, which are awesome, but two, when you travel internationally and you do immerse yourself in those cultures, I feel like it's the best real life education anyone can get. And it teaches sure. you, teaches you values that are important, like acceptance, right?
Yeah.
Like you realize as humans, we have way more in common than we do that are different. And even though media and countries have their own agendas on why they want to keep us really like fractionalized and segregated, I've never been to a country where I was like, I'll never go back there. Or I've never been to a place where I'm like, you know, the people there were right. They're all horrible. It's quite the opposite, you know, and, right. and it's really helped me become, I feel like, a better person, much better person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Root Brands Wellness's Zero In offers a competitive edge over other nootropics like Joe Rogan's Alpha Brain by focusing on natural gut health axis optimization, providing clearer cognitive function and sustained attention without artificial stimulants. Travelers will benefit from enhanced mental clarity during long journeys, while entrepreneurs and business owners can leverage improved focus for strategic planning and execution. Elevate your mental game beyond conventional limits and outperform your competition with Zero In today.
But this is a good segue too. So talk to me about your course. What does it look like? I mean, we talked a little bit about it on the pre-call, that it is super intense. 91 videos, I think you said. Tell me a little bit about the course and how somebody can access it, and just kind of fill in the details for the listener who hasn't had a chance to follow you on Instagram yet.
Yes. So, you know, one of the things that we get asked most about is, how are we able to consistently travel? How are we able to turn it into income? How are we able to, you know, use social media to create a business in the travel space? And as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I've done, you know, I've had 80 students over the course of like 7 years that I've done more of the one-on-one trainings with. There's only so many people I can work with to teach this, you know, on a one-on-one basis, because time, you know, is everything, and I just don't have that much time. So, yeah, about 2 years ago, prior to COVID, two of the ambassadors that were had gone through my program, they were actually also really good digital marketers, and they specialized in how to take a following on Instagram and really monetize it to create sustainable businesses, you know. And my whole forte was really how to use social media to build a following, especially in a travel niche, and then utilize that to start working with brands. So we came together and said, why don't we create something where I can teach my expertise, they can teach their expertise, but when someone goes through the course, they can learn all the ins and outs of building a social media following, but then also leveraging that to actually create an income, you know, so that they can make the transition. And that's what we did. If you follow us on Luxury World Traveler, you can, you know, you can click the link in our bio, and there's a link tree. And one of the options there will take you to a landing page where you can learn more about the course and the instructors, and see a lot of our testimonials of past ambassadors. And, you know, our ambassadors have visited over 300 of the top hotels and resorts. And like, you know, we're really good at what we do in this space. And a lot of people are like, well, is it too late? And, you know, I have no followers on Instagram, and they already start talking themselves out of it. Right. They always ask the negative questions.
Yeah.
They don't ever ask like, I never get asked like, how many places can I really go? And like, you know, can I go to the Maldives? It's always like, how long, and is it possible, and is it too late? And, you know, my answer to everybody is like, you know, social media still, I mean, worldwide social media only has a 50% penetration, which means there's 3.6 billion people on social in the world, and there's 7.2 million or billion people on the planet. So half the people still aren't on social, you know, but the rise of the smartphone, the rise of popularity of social, and really the deteriorating of the traditional market
economy,
traditional marketing has yep. really created such a wealth of opportunity and need for content creators and bloggers and people that want to do this, because we always recycle and create new digital marketing. Hospitality industry needs it. And, you know, travel happens to be the number two talked about subject on all of social media combined. And because it's so visual, it's a perfect marriage. And so there's plenty of time. There's plenty of space. And you know this as well as I do. Within the travel space, you have so many niches, right? There's family travel. There's group travel. There's health and wellness. There's solo. Yeah. There's backpackers. There's, you know, there's the whatever. There's so many different types. Luxury, you know, vagabond. Well, it doesn't matter. And everyone.
You literally could create any niche you wanted. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a parent with adopted children, you're a solo, you know, single parent, you're gay, lesbian, trans, like literally anything that you do could become its own niche in travel. Like literally anything.
Correct. And like those are becoming really the places that people turn for their information. And that's why, you know, in the travel industry, the other thing a lot of people understand is that, like, I know the travel industry inside and out, because not only have I did I create, you know, the social side of it, and have we done like the PR marketing side, but what's interesting is that, like, I also owned and operated a luxury travel agency where we were actually booking people, right? And I was seeing all these different trends, and so I have made a lot of friends that own and operate hotels. And I'm really close with a lot of CMOs and people that are really large in the travel space. And the rise of the niche micro influencer is actually becoming a lot more valuable now to hotels and resorts than just the big blanketing pages that are just like a pretty picture page, because people that are interested in that niche, and there are millions around the world when whatever niche it is, that's where they turn as their trusted resource. And that's why you can monetize it. And that's why there's such a wealth and abundance of it. And everyone has their own personality and everyone's going to depict it different. So that's why I would say right now to anyone listening to your podcast, if they have a desire to do this and it's something they really want to take a, you know, a chance on, whether they work with me or not, just know that, you know, the opportunity is there and it's only going to grow. And there's never really been a better time for someone that has a passion for travel to start their own brand than there is today. And social media really gives you the power to do that.
Well, and even from the vantage point of that, COVID has decimated the travel industry. Now is a perfect time to start, because as countries, you know, come to the realization, this is not going anywhere, vaccine or no vaccine, we just need to pull up our big boy and big girl pants and confront it and deal with it and get back to some sense of normalcy in life. This is the perfect opportunity to launch into the travel niche, because by the time they come to that realization, you could be a megastar.
Exactly. Exactly. And you really could. And, you know, like, we know this, and people that are, I would say, you know, 35 and older know it better than the younger generations. But I mean, when I first wanted to become an entrepreneur back in 2000, what was it when I started my business? 2002, 2001, I had to make a very, very big capital investment into my office, into the desk, into the computers, into the printers, into the, you know, like, there was, and have a big overhead. And, you know, like, it was preventative 15, 20 years ago for a lot of people to start their own company because of the cash outlay you needed in the beginning. And today, you know, like, our course right now is selling for $495. But just as an example, like, you can make an investment in yourself, learn everything you can from your own home, from the privacy of your laptop and your smartphone, and really start. And, like, I think that's just, you know, when people are looking at both sides of the coin, I'm like, you, as an entrepreneur, I wish 15, 20 years ago, I only had to spend $500 to start my own business. Come on,
man. I mean, it's so true, man. Like, you could literally, so I've had three brick and mortar businesses. I used to be a professional fighter. So I had my own mixed martial arts gym. I had 70 pro fights. That thing cost me over $45,000 to start. Mm-hmm. I mean, then I had my own coffee shop. before Starbucks was a thing. I had my own espresso machine. Those things are extraordinarily expensive, you know, 30 grand. Then I had my own government contracting company. Again, massive investment to get started. Social media and what I do now online is by far the least expensive overhead to get started. And it and truly has been the most profitable. Now, it's not made me as much money yet, but when you look at, you know, investment to return, it's been far more profitable.
I completely agree with you, you know, and like, I just think people fail to realize how special of a time we live in right now. And social media just did the entire world a blessing because, you know, my ambassadors are not like only 20% of them are from the United States. I've had ambassadors and currently do from the Philippines, from Hong Kong, from Thailand, from India, from, you know, Indonesia, from all over Europe and South America. And again, even if they're not living in a country that's as cash rich as parts of like Europe or the United States is, we're all on the same playing field when it comes to social, right? And I just think people really need to take advantage of that, right? Because in, even like what just happened with COVID, imagine having your brick and mortar business in COVID and then the world economy shuts down. Like you're so
screwed.
So, yeah, exactly.
You're so screwed.
Exactly. Whereas with this, you can kind of move with the punches. And you don't still have to pay $10,000 a month in rent. You know, you don't have a $20,000 overhead in payroll. Like, it's just, you know, it's a very advantageous time to do it. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, is because I know it's possible. I probably did it in the hardest possible time when Instagram was in its infancy and when this whole thing was just starting. But people always ask me, could you do it again now? And I say, absolutely. It's still, you know, it's actually be easier to do it now because Instagram and TikTok and all these things, they're mainstream. And that's never going to go away now. So,
yeah. I mean, no, it really isn't. And, you know, so just because we're talking more about the social media portion, just out of curiosity, how do you really get around algorithm and those kind of things? For your own business, you know, because you always have that where, you know, you've got, you're trying to build an online influence and, you know, you're fighting against the program, you know, do you deal with that in your course?
Yeah. You know, the great thing about travel is now there are, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of travel themed repost pages on Instagram. And they're all in need of content. All of them are in need of content to publish. And when I first started, again, even 10 years ago, if you wanted to go record a really nice video, you had to have an expensive camera, right? You want to take a really nice picture, you had to have a $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, even $5,000 back then was more expensive. DSLR to do that, right? Like you couldn't go do it on an iPhone. Now, I mean, if you have an iPhone 10 or newer, right, or a Samsung Galaxy, whatever, or newer, like the stuff that really goes viral on Instagram now is not the polished, perfect picture. It's not the $10,000 video production that took four people to shoot and an editor. I mean, literally, if you go on Instagram right now and look at the most viral travel videos, they're shot on iPhones and Galaxies, and they're like 15 seconds or less, or their pictures stitched together. I mean, that's why I get like so frustrated. People are like, it's too late. I'm like, it's not too late. I know people that like create one video and it goes viral and they grow 100,000 people in 2 weeks, and now they're getting paid brand collaborations. Like, who's telling them it's too late? And yeah, you know, I know a lot of people that are in this space or they just blow up on TikTok and like, you know, now they got 400,000 followers and they're getting, so, you know, it's, there's ways around it. But the great thing about it travel is like, if you know how to create good content and then, you know, you build your brand and you get access to some of these really good places, creating content isn't as difficult as it was before. And people love travel content because it's so widespread and like, it doesn't matter if you're American or, you know, Asian or European or Australian or whatever, like everyone loves to see a beautiful sunset in Thailand over a white sand beach, right? Like people can appreciate it. So you don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to be a brand. You can learn what I think is even more important now than university degrees is, you know, like trade degrees, I think, are becoming more important. And like learning how to do digital marketing and create digital media is really now a trade skill that is becoming ever more important, and is the jobs are paying more and more and more because we're so visual. So like there's ways to still do it. And like within the travel niche, I know people that have done this and have started a year ago and 6 months ago and 2 years ago that are doing extremely well, and have gotten around the algorithm. And you don't need millions and millions and millions of followers in order to replace the current income you have now. I promise.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Man, just so much here. It's amazing to be talking with you and just everything that you're sharing. So let's segue here to more away from the business side. And you've been traveling during COVID. COVID has not stopped you from traveling. Just share your experiences. You know, my crowd is predominantly US, but I'm starting to get people from around the world listening. Talk to me about your experience traveling. Talk to me about what you're seeing abroad in both Europe as well as, you know, the Middle East and Russia and the Ukraine. What's the world doing and saying and seeing with COVID right now?
Yeah. So great question. I was living in Spain before I started traveling 14 weeks ago. And I can tell you where I was living in Southern Spain after March of 2020, they never even fully went locked down again. It was pretty open for tourists. The number of people that you could have at tables and indoor dining fluctuated a little bit. There was intermittent curfews that were imposed, which I think are just ridiculous. I don't know how that stops COVID. At all.
Well, at 11 o'clock,
I didn't know
it goes
COVID had a bedtime.
Yeah, right?
I didn't know COVID had a bedtime. But you know, in Spain, like it was pretty wide open. I mean, you still have to wear masks in public and stuff. But, you know, from there, I traveled through the Middle East, Dubai, Egypt, Turkey, and all those places, none of them required a vaccine. All of them required PCR tests. I think what you need to be very cognizant about is that every country is different. So for me, I just was very tactical in the routes that I was choosing and which country I was going to another. Europe is starting to get more stringent. Certain places are requiring vaccines and not just a PCR test, but it's not every country. So again, you need to be very, very aware of that. And then what I think a lot of people fail to recognize is that every country will have a website of different countries listed that are either like green, yellow, or red, or like safe, mild, or dangerous. So if you're traveling from one country to the next, you need to research the country that you're actually going to and see what their opinion is on the country that you visited before. And then that's where the different restrictions come right. in, and that's where they impose either like some kind of quarantine or a PCR test. Or proof of vaccination, or, you know, a combination of all three. But I was just very selective on where I wanted to go because I, you know, again, I hadn't traveled really in 9 months and I just needed to get out. And so that's why I chose Turkey. It's such a big country with so many diverse landscapes that I could do a lot there. Sure. Dubai never shut down. Dubai has been one of the only places like Mexico that never shut down throughout COVID. You just need a PCR test. If you come from one of those dangerous countries that they consider, then you have to do a PCR test at the actual airport, which I had to do a couple of times. But I just think, you know, really doing your homework and being cognizant about whatever country you're traveling to's restrictions are, make it easier. And I know a lot of people are just like, oh, I'm going to go here. And then they get there and, you know, they're at the airport and they're like, you either do a 10-day quarantine or you're on the next flight out. So you don't want to be caught up in those situations. Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, we in America, our media has really been divisive. And we're not seeing a lot of the information, which you and I talked about on the pre-call, but Europe is starting to really rebel against the mandatory vaccine, the mandatory vaccine cards, and the idea that the countries have the authority to do this. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because you were just there and you've seen some of that. I don't want to make it super controversial, but I want my U.S. listeners to know that it is not what we're being told. So,
Yeah, no. You know, I think Europeans are even a little bit more progressive than most of the United States. I would compare them to more like California, you know, a state that's very liberal and proactive when it comes to these types of restrictions. And yeah, I mean, there have been large scale protests in most of the larger European cities or countries or the cities within the countries, like Paris, like London, like Rome, where, like, you know, the people that live there are just fed up, right? Like, they just implemented in Italy that you can't even take a train, which is one of the ways most foreigners travel throughout the country, without proving that you've been vaccinated. And it caused a huge problem because, you know, those types of restrictions, especially for like the number one visited country in the world, provide barriers to entry for tourists, which then mean tourist money doesn't come, which then means, you know, people's financial livelihoods are impacted. And I just feel like so many people, especially in those like France, Spain, Italy, like some of the most visited countries, they're just so fed up with it. And, you know, it, we're all human at the end of the day. And the more our pocketbook gets squeezed, the more we feel it, right? The more stress we get, the more volatile we're likely to become. I mean, because we have to survive. So yeah, there is a really big undertone in Europe right now for them just basically being fed up with a lot of the restrictions that the countries have put up and the mandates that they put up. And people are, you know, holding wide scale protests in large cities. And it's being met very violently by the governments over here. It has not been pretty. I'll leave it at that. You know, if you don't believe me, go on YouTube it's there. Yeah, it's there.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Australia right now, their mandates, if you come out of your house without the proper, I don't know if it's documentation or, you know, reason, they're literally arresting people for not locking down. And it's absolutely absurd to me kind of what's happening across the world. And I shared this with you, you know, it's absolutely absurd to me that these countries like France are protesting before Americans are. Like, our country was founded on protest, you know, like, and it's just a strange time when we look across the board of the world and we see what's happening. And the misinformation, which you and I talked about too, just the like, I just saw a New York Times article, I want to say it was yesterday after we talked, that said protest of about 100 people in London. My buddy lives in London. And he's like, try more like 250,000 people.
Yeah, no, like wide scale. It's wide scale. And you know, again, back to my other point, if you think about it, like, tourism in the United States is very regional on an international scale. When people from around the world think about going to the United States, they're not thinking about going to Topeka, Kansas, right?
Right.
They're not thinking about going to Toledo, Ohio. And they're going to what? New York, Miami, Vegas, LA, like mostly the coasts, and then a couple, you know, Chicago, Dallas, some places scattered throughout the middle. So I think, you know, a majority of the United States economy does not revolve around international tourism as a way to provide. But whereas in Europe, you know,
Like Croatia, Italy, Greece, even places, the UK.
Yeah, I mean, a majority of their GDP is based around tourism and tourism dollars. So when that money stops, it impacts a greater percentage of their population. And that's what you're seeing in Europe, is that, like, they depend on international tourists as part of their economy. That's the same thing with, like, the Bahamas, right? Like, this is a fun fact because I've worked with the tourism board in the Bahamas. 92% of the Bahamas GDP is tourism. So, like, if that shuts down, 92% of the people there have, you know, are not making money. And that's kind of what's happening in Europe. And I think, you know, I also think that people now, and I know two friends in Europe that this happened to, like, they
had COVID, got the vaccine, got COVID again, and their bout the second time around, even after they were vaccinated, was worse. And people are starting to hear these stories, and it's starting to become more and more popular. And everyone's starting to realize that, like, you know, what we're being told does not seem like the truth. And instead of this really being a worldwide pandemic where it could create, you know, a wide scale number of deaths, maybe it's more of something that's being used to restrict basic human rights. And I think that's why you're seeing people really start to, like, take to the streets in Europe.
Well, it definitely is starting to feel that way, right? I mean, even in America, which, you know, I don't know about other countries, but we have a real hard political divide that's become, you know, quite simply the most toxic thing I've ever seen, and verges on violence, which is unfortunate because that's not what we're supposed to be. But what you're even seeing now is, like, more of the progressives saying, what happened to my body, my choice? Like, there's this undercurrent of people beginning to go, wait a minute, what happened to, you know, local autonomy of my own decisions, my own healthcare choices, my own business choices? Like, you know, I have a business here locally that are great friends, and they literally refuse to lock down. They refuse to shut their business and said it's unconstitutional. We're not doing it. And they were demonized over it, right? And so, you know, now you imagine that at a global scale. No wonder why people are pissed off. I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And it's very, I mean, especially for the travel community, which is very unfortunate because so many people's livelihoods have been impacted. And, you know, yeah. I think it's been grossly over-exaggerated how very dangerous this virus has become. You know, I mean, like, for people under, I think the statistic I saw the other day was, like, for people under 65 years old, this has like a 0.0004 mortality rate. So, like,
yeah,
it's not like Ebola. It's not like, you know, it's not a world killer.
When it broke out, they were saying it was the next Spanish flu, which killed something like 2.5 million people. I mean, we just hit 600K. What's the best way for somebody to reach out to you and get a hold of you?
Yeah, the best way really is find us on Instagram. Our handle is Luxury World Traveler, all one word. And, you know, if they look at the link in our bio on our Instagram page, there's a link tree there for people that are Instagram users where they can get in touch with us. They can learn about our ambassador program. They can learn about our course. You know, we have other marketing services that we offer if they're in the hospitality industry. That's probably the easiest way. Or they can go to our website, same thing, which is www.luxwt.com. And, you know, they can actually reach out to us there. We're a virtual company now. We have no more brick and mortar office as of 2020. So, you know, everyone in my company works independently all around the world. And, but we're definitely here to help if anyone wants to, you know, work with us or learn more about how to do this on a regular basis. And, you know, I just joined your travel group on Facebook, so I'll probably be active in there if they want to try to track me down there as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Man, thanks so much for taking time out to talk with me today, and we'll see you around.
All right. Take care.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review to keep the adventure going. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the world tactically. Until then, keep your itineraries tight and your travel spirits adventurous. Safe travels, and see you next time on Tactical Traveler.